I'm a female living in New England. This took place several years ago, in a decent neighborhood, the day before my 10th birthday. I was arriving home with my mother and my younger brother from one of his soccer games. When we pulled in, my brother noticed a yard sale next door. This house was run down. Apparently some police activity went on there before I was born. But that was over with now, right? A man walks up to us and introduces himself. We'll call him Ray. Now, Ray was renting from the woman who owned the place. Basically, this woman had a house with four bedrooms, one for her, one for her disabled son, and the other two rooms were rented out. Ray seemed nice. He played a bit of soccer on the sidewalk with my younger brother and spoke kindly with my mother. He looked a bit trashy, but I didn't care. I just wanted to go inside and play some Minecraft, not thinking much about the ordeal. That was in October. A few months later, in late January, I was barely awake when my dad came into my room and picked me up out of bed and carried me to the master bedroom, where my mom and brother were. The master bedroom is the furthest room away from the house next door. I didn't like being disturbed, so I ran back to my bedroom. My dad then yelled at me, saying that there were police next door and that I should go back into the other room. I did as I was told. I was scared. Apparently, Ray's ex had gone over to the house to pick up some of her things, and she brought her new boyfriend along with her. Ray started stabbing the boyfriend and the police were called, guns drawn and all. I thought that was a one-time instance, and that we would be safe after that. March rolls around. My mom picked me up from school as usual. My brother was staying after school for some guitar lessons. She would get him later. I threw my backpack in the trunk, and I asked her why there were so many suitcases back there. She cheerfully explained that we were staying at a hotel for the night. We drove around town, and finally she said my dad would take me back home. And suddenly we were no longer staying at a hotel. I thought all of this was very strange. I came home with my dad. I noticed that there was police tape on our lawn. My dad said that they had found drugs in Ray's house. That comment didn't really settle in until later. The full story was, Ray was doing PCP on his front steps. Someone noticed and called the cops. The police came, half chased Ray into the next town over, investigated the house. An officer picked up a package with drugs and immediately begins to have a bad reaction. A biohazard unit had to be called, and they found a drug lab inside the house. The police advised my parents to evacuate. It turns out it wasn't meth, so we could come back. But he was manufacturing PCP right next door. My mom arrives home with my brother a few hours after me and dad, and that's when reality sets in. I had an anxiety attack. I couldn't eat, and I sat behind our couch, using it as a makeshift bunker. I couldn't get any sleep on that night. After Ray was released from jail, he goes right back to his illegal lifestyle. Apparently, the evidence room was tampered with, so he couldn't be convicted. Meanwhile, my family has bought a new house, a large dog, security cameras, and plenty of weapons. My brother and I were already attending therapy, but now our sessions happen to be more frequent. We would be moving out in 2 months. During this time, Ray would watch us from his back porch, just sitting there and staring at us. My dad confronted him once, and Ray started shouting death threats at him, which upset me even more. The day we moved, Ray let his pit bull loose. It was in the evening, and he didn't know that we had already left. He just knew it was around the time that we usually walked our dog. A month after moving out, Ray strolled into a local food store, jacked up on PCP. He tried to kidnap a small child. Thankfully, the kid's parents noticed. Ray dropped the child and tried to hide, but the police eventually caught up with him. But here's a real kicker. He was released from jail a month later because the cells were too full. No transfers, nothing. It was like he was acquitted of all charges. In legal terms, I'm not sure what the outcome of this whole ordeal was, but if he was capable of kidnapping, what could he have done to me or my younger brother? I have pushed this from the back of my mind in the past couple of months because any activity has seemingly stopped. Yet somehow I knew this silence was too good to be true, and eventually we would hear from him again, sooner or later. It all started a few months ago. A guy messaged me on Facebook, and unlike the usual creepy messages I get, this one sounded intelligent and funny. We started chatting from time to time, talking about anything and everything. He said he was divorced with one child, and I kind of empathized every time he would complain about his ex-wife, even though it also kind of bothered me that he would tell all of these personal details to a virtual stranger. After all, no matter what happened between them, she was still the mother of his kid. Please have some respect. We continued chatting, and I'm getting more relaxed. We were at the stage where we would often discuss our daily lives, and inevitably, I talked about my best friend, with whom I'm extremely close with. We were like sisters, but at that particular time she was very busy with changes happening at her work. She was also having issues with a guy she had met, and things were complicated, and she promised me that she would explain everything in detail when there was more time to meet. Now keep in mind that under normal circumstances I would have known every little detail about it, but as it happened then, there wasn't sufficient time to properly see each other and talk, so I only knew the basics, no names or pictures, etc. So I'm talking to, for the sake of the story, we'll just call him Jake, and I'm beginning to notice that every time we have a conversation, he would casually direct the discussion towards my best friend. We'll call her Jenna. I have mentioned to him that we've known each other since we were babies, and practically grew up together, so he would always ask me to tell him funny stories about our childhood, and our teenage years, then proceeded inquiring about what she's like now, and what kind of guy she goes for, etc. I would jokingly ask if he got tired of me, would he want her number, but he would deflect with awkward humor, so I didn't really read too much into it. Some time had passed, and things are a bit calmer at Jenna's work, so we finally got a chance to meet up for drinks. Inevitably, we start talking about Jake. I told her about him, and she's smiling and nodding, until I take out my phone and show her his pictures. Her face goes pale. She grabs my phone and says, "This is him. This is the guy I told you about." At first, I assume that she was joking. She is prone to messing with me. But she looks dead serious, so I begin asking questions. It turns out, she met him on a dating app. And when they talked, she was under the same impression that I was, that he was smart, charming, and cultured. So when he eventually asked her out, she gladly accepted. They went out, had some drinks, and talked, and everything was fine. Until by the end of the evening, when he got a bit too grabby with her, and was insistent for more than just a goodnight kiss. He offered to drive her home, even though she had taken her own car there, and suggested that he could pick her up in the morning and they could go back together and get her car. Since Jenna didn't want him to know where she stayed, she was annoyed by his advances. She refused and managed to escape him somehow. She told me that she was afraid that Jake would follow her home, so instead, she went to a bar where a friend of hers worked at. The next day, he called her and apologized for his behavior, blaming it on the alcohol and the stress from his job, and then told her that he had to admit something to her because he really liked her and wanted to be honest. She agreed and they met up again. That's when he admitted that he was actually in the process of getting a divorce but hadn't filed for it yet. He was still living with his wife and small child because she didn't have a job and he couldn't just leave her alone. This was only a temporary thing until she got financially stable. Jenna, being the blunt girl that she is, called bullshit on his story and accused him of being yet another married man out to cheat on his wife. and using false excuses for sympathy. The guy worked in sales, so he was really smooth-talking and convincing. So I don't know how he managed to appease her doubts, at least to the point of not cutting him off right then and there. But some time passes and he chats to her online, calls her, and they talk. But Jenna tells him that the only way that they would ever be intimate with each other is that she sees proof that he is actually divorced and lives separately from his ex-wife. One day he calls her up and tells her that he will put his wife on the phone to prove, even though they live together, they sleep in separate rooms and are technically separated. A woman's voice actually confirms that. But this leaves Jenna more puzzled than reassured. She's conflicted because despite everything, she really likes this guy. Why? And is therefore worried not to get herself into a mess if she falls deeper. She's still hesitant to accept his invitations to meet. So one day he accidentally walks past her workplace at exactly the time she's done with her shift. What are the chances, right? She agrees to go grab a drink with him, as long as they act platonic. He promises. And apparently, that is also when she tells him more about her life, childhood, etc. And that's where I'm brought up in that conversation. He listens to her carefully, and when she compares both timelines, it turns out a few days after that, Jake begins to message me on Facebook. We were both livid, so we decided to confront him separately and then compare notes. When I got back home, I texted him asking why he had lied to me about being divorced, when he was clearly still living with his family, and more importantly, why he even started talking to me when he was apparently seeing my best friend. He was unprepared for that, but he bounced back and gave me some bullshit excuse about how he was just curious about me, when he had heard so much from Jenna and wanted to see what I looked like. So he went through her Facebook friends and found me. Mind you, she hadn't added him on Facebook, so he basically stalked her profile to gather that information. Just like when she didn't tell him exactly where she worked, yet he had accidentally, by some miracle, walked past there. When Jenna confronted him, he told her that he was just curious and wanted to hear about her from the person who knows her best. She told him that it was wrong and creepy on so many levels, but he insisted that he had no bad intentions and he just allowed his curiosity to get the better of him, etc. When we compared notes after that, Jenna and I just decided to stop talking to him altogether. Because this guy was clearly a pathological liar and also extremely creepy. We each tell him that we don't want to talk to him or see him ever again. And even though he was shocked and tries to convince us otherwise, he eventually accepts that and says that if we ever change our mind, he'll be happy to talk. We think it's over. Oh, how naive we were. At first, he seemed to take it well, but then he would again, quote, accidentally send a picture or message that was intended for somebody else, but mistakenly sent it to me or Jenna, so he could initiate a conversation. He would attempt to ask her or me out again, get denied, and then retreat again, until the next message or call. Then the random bumping into each other ensued. Whenever we would go out, on my way to work, or to the market, to the cafe, or Jenna's gym, he would be there. Of course, all of this was random coincidence. We were more annoyed than scared at this point. We still thought he was a lying piece of shit, but ultimately harmless. So there wasn't much that we could do, except wait it out and hope that he would eventually move on. Wrong. One day Jenna comes to my place, freaked out. She tells me that she was on a date with a new guy, and she saw Jake passing by the restaurant she was in, and then later called her in hysterics, screaming at her.
Look what you did. I can't get you out of my mind. Because of you, I got so angry I hit my child and chased my wife out of the house.
She got fed up with him and responded, and told him to never bother her again, and go seek a therapist because he clearly has issues, and then she blocked him. That creeped us both out, because not only was he not moving on, he seemed to have been escalating and becoming aggressive. I told her that if he calls her again, she should threaten to call the police and report him for being allegedly abusive toward his family. We were in the middle of discussing this when I got a call from an unknown number. I normally don't pick those up, but I was also waiting for a package to be dropped off and thought that it might be the delivery man, but it was Jake. He was crying into the phone, sobbing and pleading with me to convince Jenna to unblock him, that it wasn't fair and I had to help him. He sounded insane. I was shocked to hear him in this state. It was such a contrast to his normally smooth demeanor. So I calmly told him to start acting like a grown man and to calm down. It wasn't my place to convince Jenna of anything after she had made up her mind, especially after him acting crazy and the claims about hitting his child and chasing his wife out. He then told me that he didn't really do that, but just wanted to make Jenna feel guilty and scare her into talking to him. He began to apologize profusely and said that he was at his wit's end and didn't know what to do. I told him that he had gone way too far and that if he ever proceeded to contact or stalk us again, we would go to the police. I hung up on him and blocked him as well. The police threat seemed to work, and we haven't heard from him in about 2 months. But yesterday, Jenna and I were at a mutual friend's birthday party. And guess who was the birthday girl's plus one?
This is something that happened back when I was in high school. During that time, I lived at home with my parents and brother. We also had two dogs. Usually, just about every day, the dogs would be walked. It would either be me, my brother, or my parents walking them. One night, it was probably like 8 p.m. and the sun was setting. The weather was pretty nice though, and the dogs needed to go for their walk. My parents decided to take them, and my brother was at his friend's house. I was having a hard time with my homework, so I stayed home alone when they left. When my parents walked the dogs, I never really quite knew how long it would be. Our neighborhood was pretty quiet, but it was also pretty large. There were lots of streets and houses in the general area, and there was also a park not that far away. Sometimes it would be like 20 to 30 minutes for the walk, and other times it would be over an hour. I was up in my bedroom when my parents told me they were leaving, and I said bye from up in my bedroom and then heard them walk out. After that, I tried hard to focus on my homework. It was some math assignment, and I just couldn't seem to understand it. I was trying my best to figure it out though, and I lost track of time. The next thing I knew, I heard the front door downstairs opening. I automatically assumed that it was my parents getting back, and I remained focused on what I was doing. But several moments later, I realized that that wasn't right. If my parents were home, I would have heard the dogs with them. The only thing that I had heard when the door opened was somebody walking inside. I never heard my parents' voices or the dogs or anything. I stopped doing my homework. Then I stood up and walked to the doorway. I listened closely to who was inside of our house. I heard nothing but silence. Now I didn't know what was going on. Clearly, it wasn't either of my parents, and I knew that it wasn't my brother either. I thought about going downstairs to look around, but for some reason, I just felt like that was a really bad idea. Instead, I quietly shut my door and went back inside of my room. I couldn't really focus anymore on schoolwork. I was replaying in my head, hearing the door open and close, and wondering if I had imagined the whole thing. Looking back, I was starting to question myself. Then, out of nowhere, I heard the sound of somebody walking up the stairs. The footsteps reached the top, and then started to approach my bedroom. I began to panic, and was really scared that whoever it was would go into my room. I did not have a lock on my door, so they would be able to just walk right in if they wanted. When the footsteps reached my room, they walked right past. Whoever it was going to the end of the hallway. Back there was a bathroom and my parents' bedroom, as well as the guest bedroom. My brother's was right across the hall. I heard whoever it was reach near where my parents' bedroom and the guest bedroom were, and without even giving it much thought, I ran to my doorway, opened it, and sprinted for the stairs. I didn't look at all to see who was actually inside of the house. I felt like this was my best opportunity to get away. When I had raced down the stairs, I ran directly for the front door. I then went outside and started running for the street. I couldn't tell you if whoever was in the house with me went after me or not. My memory of it all is just a blur. When I got back out to the street, I just started jogging until I saw my parents with the dogs. They saw me running and wanted to know what was up. I told them that somebody went inside the house. My dad called the police, and we waited a distance away until they arrived. My parents had left the door unlocked after leaving. Our neighborhood was not known to have crime, really, so this was a big deal. The police got there, and only then did we return to our house. When we got back, whoever had been inside the house was now gone. They didn't even steal anything. After that experience, we always locked our doors. In the weeks that followed, there were two reports of burglaries just a few blocks away. I think that it was probably the same person. I know a guy was caught in connection with them, but I really don't know if he was the same person who went inside our house or not. I don't really know if there's a way to prove it either. I'm just glad I got out of there when I did. There was no way I was going to stay in the house with the guy just down the hallway from me. That was one of the scariest moments of my life. A strange thing happened to me a couple of years ago. At the time, I lived in an apartment by myself. It was a one-bedroom, one-bathroom place, and I lived on the second floor of the building. Overall, the apartment was not the nicest, and it didn't have that many units in it either. I knew a few of my neighbors, but not all of them. One night, I was at home by myself, like usual. It was sometime at night, I really don't know exactly the time, but there was a knock on my door. I walked over and answered it, without giving it that much thought. A man was standing there. He was kind of short and had dark brown hair. The man told me that he was my neighbor from down the hallway, and he pointed a ways to the left. He asked me if he could come inside of my apartment to make a phone call. He said that his Wi-Fi was not working, and he didn't have any service on his phone at the time, so without the Wi-Fi, he couldn't make any calls. I was not comfortable with this. I told the man sorry, but no. He said that he would be really fast, and I told him that I really couldn't help him. He kind of came across as a little bit sketchy to me for some reason. The man turned to walk away, and I closed my door. I was really curious afterwards. I had never seen the man before, and had seen most of the people who lived in the building because it wasn't all that big. I thought maybe the guy would knock on another person's door, and I quietly opened my door and looked around the corner to see him walking away. He walked all the way to the end of the hall, and then he went inside of the elevator. I was suspicious that he didn't even live here. At one point or another, I had seen just about everyone that lived on my floor. After the man left, I went to one of the windows in my place. I looked out of it and to the guest parking lot where the main doors open up to. Now, there are assigned parking spaces for all the residents, and those are under the building. There's a small guest parking lot with like 10 spaces out front. I saw the man leave the building and then walk to an older-looking car in the guest parking lot and drive away. He definitely didn't live here. So why would he lie to me and claim that he did? I didn't know, but the fact that he wanted me to let him inside of my apartment kind of creeps me out. He certainly made up the whole story about his Wi-Fi being down and him not having any cell phone service. I'm not sure how he got into the building in the first place, but most likely somebody else let him in when they were entering. After that night, I never saw him again. That pretty much confirmed to me that he didn't live there. I'm really glad that I didn't let him inside of my apartment.
I'm a female who is currently 30 years old, and this took place late last year in early November. My fiancé and I had just bought a boating company in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. At the time, we lived in LA, and because we had bought the company, we had to move to Florida to maintain it. Life was kind of what you'd expect for Florida. It rained a lot and was almost tropical during the summer months. If you've been to Florida or live there, you'll probably relate to what I'm saying. Anyway, we had moved into a large one-storied home appropriate for a family of four. We didn't have kids, but the house wasn't too expensive and we needed to find a new place. For the first month or so, the move had been well and we started to adapt to the new environment. In other words, things were going well for the most part. One day, my fiancé had gone into the office while I was homesick with the flu. At one point during the day, I remember going into the kitchen to get a snack to just have something in my stomach. Upon entering the kitchen full of unopened boxes, I for some reason get a weird feeling. It wasn't a bad feeling, but rather a feeling that made me alert or something. You know that feeling you get when you feel like someone's watching you? Yeah, I had that in spades. I hesitate before looking out the sliding glass door to see someone walking around my vegetable garden. By the looks of it, they looked like a younger adult in all black wearing a satchel. Now, this house had a gate on the side that only opened if you had the password. However, the password wasn't working, which indicated that he jumped the fence. The thing that really caught my eye was that he appeared to be pouring something around the garden. My initial instinct was to call my fiancé, but realized that he would get worried and try to take this into his own hands. Without any other options, I pick up the phone to call the police. The operator said they'd try to have someone there soon, but to just stay hidden in the meantime. This person continues to look around the garden as I run to my room and lock my door. All the while, I'm on my bed praying to God that he doesn't come inside or break in. Minutes felt like hours before hearing the police sirens from down the road. They got louder as they pulled into my house, where I then heard some sort of commotion going on. Upon going outside, I see four police officers restraining this kid who appeared to be an older teen. However, he didn't try to get away. He kind of just stood there, accepting his defeat. As I spoke with the police, I then learned a shocking truth I didn't expect to hear. While they were restraining him, they managed to find several traces of liquid mercury, which is what he was using to put in our garden. It was then where I called my fiancé, where he had to leave work to come home. Turns out, this teenager was actually our next-door neighbor's son. Both his parents were devastated, apologizing to us for his actions. While we understood their pain, we ended up filing charges against the son for attempted murder. How he got a container of mercury, we have no idea. I'm still very thankful I caught him in the act, as I'm not sure if I'd still be writing this had I eaten the vegetables. He was arrested and put in jail for 10 years, according to his parents. Later that same day, his parents had told us that their son was innocent and that he was just looking at our garden. Me nor my fiancé wanted to hear it.